The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
Back home again in Indiana, I am Derek Gilbert.
I'm Mrs. Derek Gilbert, who's very glad to have him back home again in Indiana. Oh, honey, you were flying.
Yes.
So
yes.
Did you get scanned or, you know?
Or groped? No.
Yeah.
No, thankfully, the airports that I had to go through on Friday were just metal detector type. You know, take off your shoes, take off your belt, take off your watch, empty your pockets. So, you know, pretty non-intrusive. Although,
however,
they did catch, yes, I will say the transfer, and all the TSA employees that I encountered on Friday were very friendly, very helpful, mm-hmm. and in most cases, actually cheerful. So, you know, it was actually, you know, not too bad.
That's good.
But once again, this is the third time I've done this.
I know.
I have a habit of carrying a little miniature Swiss Army knife as on my keychain.
It's like 2 inches long at the longest.
Oh, the blade is like an inch.
Yeah, but I mean the whole unit is like 2 inches long, and the blade is tiny.
At most, 2 inches might be generous. So, the third Swiss Army knife that I've had to give up to the Transportation Security Administration.
It's like the little file on those nail clippers when you swing it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about
it. It's teeny weeny,
and they're about as sharp too. So. Somewhere someone's building quite a collection at the TSA of stuff that they've taken away from me at the airport.
At least they didn't take away your laptop.
That's true. That's true. Well, the laptop stayed in the rental car or stayed in the car.
And it's a good thing it did, too, because, of course, had you been coming in from the UK or elsewhere outside the country and bringing in a laptop at the airport, they would, of course, have taken it away. That's what we keep hearing.
Yeah. Well, today, January 17th, 2011, and that's really a bizarre story.
I remember seeing that story. We talked about this a couple of years ago when they started. I don't know why they were doing it then, but there is an interview that I need to actually listen to. So I just popped it in here at Instapaper. And again, if you are listening to this nine many years hence, on your holographic display going, isn't it cute to play these? The old timers, from back in the day.
1D.
Yeah. If you are listening to this then and you hear us talk about Instapaper, we have no idea if that account will, if the things will still be there. So important links we will try to put in the show notes, mm-hmm. which are at PIDradio.com. But the interview is with Representative Sanchez, and she's talking about why we need to seize – I'm trying to read through this, so apologize – dance, honey.
Dance, Rummy.
Dance while I read through this really quickly.
Well, let's see. What shall we discuss? Well, coming up
It says here, such was the case, at least for me. Oh, now, at least for me, and this is written by
Glenn Greenwald.
Yeah, so did Greenwald go through this? Let's see. For those who regularly write and read about civil liberties abuses, it's sometimes easy to lose perspective of just how extreme and outrageous certain erosions are. Now, one becomes inured to them, and even severe incursions start to seem ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Such was the case, at least for me, I assume Glenn Greenwald, since he's written this,
yes.
with Homeland Security's practice of detaining American citizens upon their reentry into the country, and as part of that detention, literally seizing their electronic products, laptops, cell phones, Blackberries, and the like, copying and storing the data, and keeping that property for months on end, sometimes never returning it.
Mm-hmm. And when I say property, they mean those electronic devices that we depend on. Yeah, Glenn Greenwald is a guy that we've mentioned a number of times on the show who writes for Salon.com. He is a self-described progressive, and he's really one of the very few voices in major media, and I guess Salon.com isn't really major when you contrast it to, you know, compare it against, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. But he's one of the few out there who is writing about the the intrusion into public lives, the erosion of constitutionally protected freedoms of the Obama administration.
And
he is disgusted.
Absolutely. He's Bush the third.
Yeah, Obama is.
He
yes,
really
absolutely.
Is. On down this article, a FOIA request from the ACLU revealed that in the 18-month period beginning October 1, 2008, so we did talk about it within the last couple of years,
more than
6,600 people, roughly half of whom are American citizens, were subjected to electronic device searches at the border by DHS, all without a search warrant.
Mm-hmm. But the willingness of courts to act is unclear at best. Yeah, the courts have really rolled over on most of these abuses of power since 9/11. When you had a court on December 7th, the day that will now doubly live in infamy, tossing out the lawsuit by the father of Anwar al-Awlaki, challenging the authority of the President of the United States to declare an American citizen, to mark an American citizen for assassination without criminal charges being brought, without any congressional or judicial oversight whatsoever, and the judge throwing out the case on basically two grounds. Number one, that al-Awlaki's father didn't have standing to file suit because al-Awlaki could have turned himself into American authorities at any time. Yeah, the ones who said that they should shoot him on sight. And secondly, that these are political matters that are best handled by the president, who has access to more information than, you know, the judges or the Congress people. Like, I'm sorry, but this is the kind of king-like power that the American Revolution was fought to eliminate.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up that word, because just as you and I were eating our soup at supper tonight,
yes,
we were discussing this. We talk about this stuff all day long.
Interesting dinner conversation.
We really do. Well, honey, yeah, just love talking to you. That's all. We were talking about Tunisia and now Chile. That apparently are just erupting from the inside. Tunisia has gone through, what, three presidents in the last, I don't know, 3 days?
They're changing governments as fast as the Italians did back in the 70s and 80s.
What is the line? He could change presidents faster than a jackrabbit on a date.
Something like that.
From the old Christmas story. He could change...
A fuse or something. Yeah.
Replace a fuse faster than a jackrabbit on a date. The people over there, supposedly, this is the theory, that WikiLeaks had a document or documents that somehow revealed the amount of corruption that was going on within the government.
So it's WikiLeaks' fault.
It had something to do, supposedly, with the president who from last week, whose much younger wife was spending much like Imelda Marcos. In fact, she was referred to as the Imelda Marcos of Tunisia.
Mm-hmm.
And many more inappropriate behaviors, let's just put it that way. And the people of Tunisia just said, that's enough. And they have been going crazy. And apparently Facebook had something to do with it. It's been a Twitter thing. They have communicated much like the rebellion that was going on in Iran about a year ago. That was started on Twitter and Facebook, so much so that Iran shut it down. Shut down the internet for a while so they couldn't communicate. So they could not communicate. Down in Chile, there is an eye report at CNN that 4,000 tourists may be being held captive
by the rebels?
By rebels in Chile.
Wow.
Who are sick of the high gas prices.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this was something that is a Facebook/Twitter event, that the rebellion was planned on Facebook and implemented all at the same time. I'm bringing this up with you because this is something we may see all over the place soon. People are really getting tired of, you know, the mucky mucks up at the top who are playing with our lives.
Yeah, and, I think we should remind people that during the Iranian uprising, the use of social media was a central feature of the news there. But remember, the U.S. Department of State intervened when Twitter and asked Twitter to delay a regularly scheduled maintenance outage because Twitter was playing such an important role in the uprising in Iran. The CIA was using it. The Iranian government was probably using it as well to coordinate and communicate back and forth. And so the State Department stepped in and asked Twitter not to shut down that particular weekend.
Well, exactly. I mean, and that's a great point to bring up because there are a lot of angry people worldwide. But more than that, there are people who would benefit from the collapse of a nation.
Yeah. Yeah, and that gets back around to WikiLeaks and who is really responsible for this. So we've questioned the plausibility that a private first class or specialist before he was busted, Bradley Manning, could have had access to this much information. You know, I know a guy from military intelligence, and he says it's highly unlikely that this machine would have been connected to any kind of a writable drive where he could have stored these cables and then released them.
Exactly. And that's the story, that he supposedly wrote them onto disks.
Right, right, which were supposed to be like Lady Gaga discs or something.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, here's another example of the way the game is being played. The whole thing feels like an intelligence op. As we've discussed before, and you're right, who really benefits from this? Last week, The Guardian in the UK published an op-ed piece by a gentleman named James Richardson who claimed that WikiLeaks had placed the Prime Minister of Zimbabwe, Morgan, I'm not going to get his name right, it's T-S-V-A-N-G-I-R-A-I, Tsvangirai, anyway, the Prime Minister of Zimbabwe by releasing a U.S. diplomatic cable that showed that he'd been urging Washington, you know, the United States, to maintain sanctions against Zimbabwe, you know, economic sanctions, while publicly in Zimbabwe denouncing the sanctions. I mean, the thought being that the prime minister would benefit if the country collapsed because then President Robert Mugabe would be overthrown. And Mugabe's been president there forever. Mm-hmm. The thing is, The Guardian didn't disclose in this op-ed piece or, you know, add as a postscript or a preface or anything that WikiLeaks didn't actually publish this particular cable until after The Guardian published the cable. And this particular story and this meme that WikiLeaks is now not only putting American soldiers' lives at risk, but potentially putting the lives of pro-Western foreign leaders – because the Prime Minister Tsvangirai is a favorable to the West, putting foreign leaders, political leaders, at risk, and this was republished in Wall Street Journal among other places. Once it was pointed out by WikiLeaks and others that The Guardian was lying, in effect, The Guardian modified the op-ed piece with a little postscript and changed a couple of things, but people who read the piece when it first was published probably never saw the retraction. People who read the piece now as it's been republished still get the sense that WikiLeaks is somehow to blame. WikiLeaks all along.
Sorry.
Yeah, there we go. That's a good clip. We just use that little section. It's just another possible WikiLeaks wrinkle, and we can go on to some other story.
Well, actually, that finish your story, but that has to do with something that apparently it's just broken, so go ahead.
So, but in any case, the point is that WikiLeaks had partnered with a lot of mainstream media sources like The Guardian, The Washington Post, New York Times, and so forth, and they've been publishing these things. And then WikiLeaks is putting them online after its newspaper partners have done it, and yet somehow WikiLeaks is to blame for all of this. The question again, who benefits? Who has partnered with WikiLeaks? Who set up these partnerships between WikiLeaks and these newspapers? And why are these particular cables, these particular stories, being put out for public consumption?
I think that's a great question. And the story that I was referring to is one that's just come out today. Former Swiss banker Rudolf Elmer, who worked 8 years in the Cayman Islands, a renowned offshore tax haven in the Caribbean, personally gave Julian Assange 2 CDs of data at a London press conference.
Okay, repeat
that,
please.
He handed over data on bank customers right in front of everybody at a press conference.
Who was this person who handed it over to?
Former Swiss banker. Rudolf Elmer.
Okay. Well.
He handed over the data at the Frontline Club, WikiLeaks British headquarters as Assange put in a... And there's my voicemail.
You've got mail.
I know. As I forgot to turn off my phone, he handed over the data at the Frontline Club as Assange put in a rare appearance. Wasn't he under arrest somewhere? Away from the remote country house of the club's founder, where he has been bailed to live. Where he has been bailed to live. What a strange... While he awaits extradition proceedings. So while he's waiting to be delivered into the hands of the authorities over in Switzerland, he's continuing to get data, so to speak, from leakers.
Very, very interesting. And going back to Glenn Greenwald, which is where I first heard this story about the Prime Minister of Zimbabwe, a piece that he wrote back on January 12th. The reason that Greenwald has been writing about this is that the media message about this whole release by WikiLeaks, you know, every time you hear the story, the message is conveyed that WikiLeaks has somehow just dumped these indiscriminately into the public domain. Per Greenwald now, and I quote, "The undeniable truth from the start is that with very few exceptions, WikiLeaks has only been publishing those cables which its newspaper partners first publish, and WikiLeaks thereafter publishes the cables with the redactions applied by those papers." In other words, WikiLeaks is depending upon the editorial judgment of its newspaper partners, and The Guardian, which published this cable about the Prime Minister of Zimbabwe, then turned around and published an op-ed piece saying Julian Assange's reckless behavior is threatening the life of this man.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's interesting to see what will happen over the next few days, because according to Assange, he will be publishing in the next week or so. Says would be weeks before any of the data is out. But I'm betting that a partner newspaper will have these names out there before Assange puts it on. What do you want to bet?
Yeah.
So people around the world are getting mad, and WikiLeaks is being blamed. Mm-hmm. How convenient.
Yeah. Well,
who's benefiting from this?
And I honestly don't know. All we can do is speculate. We're certainly not experts in the way intelligence games are being played. But it feels like, I mean, the theory that seems to make the most sense here is that we're watching some turf war taking place between various competing intelligence agencies.
Well, once again, we want to say that things may get really heated. Yeah. But as believers in Jesus Christ, you have to remember that He is our rock. He is our solace.
Mm-hmm.
And He will take care of us. I've said it many times. I'm a pre-trib rapture believer. But you know what? If we don't get out of here and we go through the entire 7 years, I'm with you. We are here for you. We are going to stay on the internet as long as we're allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
And we just pray that all of you are trusting in the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, boy, today's may be the only day you have.
Yeah.
Amen. We don't know.
That's exactly right. And as we've said before, the sense of urgency comes not from a desire to get out of here before anything happens. It's a desire to be prepared for whenever we are called home.
Exactly. And that's why we don't talk about it a whole lot.
Right.
But we do believe that Jesus Christ will be our protector no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that we won't go through bad stuff, because Christians throughout the world have been going through bad stuff since Jesus Christ was, taken back home to be with His Father.
Yeah.
For 2,000 years, Christians have been going through some really bad stuff.
Right. Yeah. We in the United States, have had it relatively easy,
pretty easy for the last couple
of centuries. So, we need to keep that in mind. But Jesus told us, expect tribulation.
He is our peace.
Yes. Amen to that. The peace that passeth all understanding.
I know.
Yeah. Well, so the Sun, have you noticed anything odd about that lately? Should we get into some just raw, pure and raw speculation based on...
Now that we've talked about the Sun, S-O-N, let's talk about the S-U-N.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen some odd stories out there. There is anecdotal evidence coming in from Sweden. Was that where? No, Greenland.
Greenland, yeah.
That the Sun arrived two days early, because they go through, these many months of night, and then they have months of day.
Mm-hmm.
And day came back 2 days early.
Yeah. This was a story that's been...
It's global warming, That's what they say.
That... is right, because the ice mountains have melted so that
As if you've never noticed the sun on the horizon before. Ice mountains.
A translation from a German article, which was published about a week ago. In Greenland, the sun rose after the polar night this year around 2 days early, according to the Greenland broadcast KNR, the headquarters star. The headquarters star in... I guess English translation, that would mean the sun, appeared already on Tuesday around exactly 12:56:57. Normally, the sun in this settlement rises on the 13th of January for the first time. So this was...
came in on 1-1-1-1.
Yes, it did, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Well, we'll put
the
a link...
headquarters...
The headquarters star, yeah, which I guess is
That's an interesting way to describe the
Google
sun.
Google translation.
Well,
yeah,
Google does its best.
Yeah, so it. What was the original source of the article? Was this from a real newspaper or just somebody's blog? I don't know.
I think it was from a real newspaper because I've seen it in a number of other places.
Yeah, ORF.AT, whatever that is. Yeah, it's all in my, you know, should be my mother tongue, but, you know, two generations here in the U.S., we completely
Honey, we don't know what you are. Come on. Swedish, Norwegian, German.
A little bit of Welsh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, just, add that little bit of speculation to it. You know, the earth could be tilted in the wrong, you know, at the wrong declination
right now. There is anecdotal evidence that amateur astronomers keep saying that the sun is not in the right position. And it's not just this time of year. Mm-hmm. They've been saying it for the last 3 or 4 years I've seen. Sometimes in the summer, they'll say it's in the wrong position. The stars are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The Inuit have been saying that the stars are wrong.
Yeah.
And they've been told.
They're just crazy.
It's global warming.
Yeah, yeah. The Iceland ice sheet.
Yeah.
According to an expert from the University of Vienna, quoted in this article, due to the strong accelerated melting of the Greenland ice sheet.
Speaking of global warming, by the way, there is a story out there that some of you have sent to me about a couple of hundred cows. I've seen in most articles describing them as cows who have died mysteriously in Wisconsin. I honestly don't know. There are some who say it's a virus, BVD, I think, BDV. Sorry. BVD, that's something. I was just picturing cows wearing BVDs.
Yeah.
That's really strange. It's utterly
ridiculous.
But whether or not they were cows or steers is a big question. I've seen steers a couple of places. I've seen cows most places. Steers are boys. Cows are girls. I don't know which it was. But we're going to find out more about that. But also I've seen a story that I think it was.
Are steers boys or are they neuter? Because they
were born boys.
Okay.
They have male genes.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. Understood. I'm getting the concept now.
Yes.
Understood. Okay.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that later, honey. We'll have a little lesson on that. But this time of year, you know, when I was back in Nebraska, what little experience I had with cattle, we had a cow-calf operation, and it wasn't unusual to have pregnant cows out in the fields right this time of year. And they usually calved around March or April, and it wasn't unusual at all for those cows to either die or the calves to die because it's so cold.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really cold right now. Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of animals dying because it's so cold.
Absolutely. We could use a little global warming in this latitude.
Well, some could, yeah. And in fact, I think there were something like 7,000 buffalo who have died in Vietnam, I think, and they are saying it's from the cold.
Hmm. Well, the person who wrote the article was probably some guy who grew up in Chicago like me who didn't know the difference between
it's
a steer
like
and a bull.
It's like that movie that drives me crazy, the one where the main character is a cow with a guy's voice.
Oh, no, the cartoon.
No, it's based on a movie, Barnyard.
Yeah, yeah. It's a Saturday morning cartoon, isn't it?
Yes, but there was also a movie called Barnyard.
Did not.
Saturday morning cartoon is based on the movie Barnyard.
Okay. Now, see, I didn't know that. Yeah, Otis the cow, right.
The cow.
Right.
The cow. A guy.
Yeah. That is.
With udders.
That is
with
rather disturbing. Yeah. Somebody should have, say, hello.
I think that was intentional.
You're probably right.
Yes, I do.
Well, last few minutes here, we do want to touch on a situation going on in the Middle East. We talked a bit about Lebanon last week and how things were kind of dicey, shall we say, And it looks like the juggling and maneuvering for position is continuing there. We're certainly not experts in what's happening there, just reporting on what is coming to our attention through the news sources.
We do know the difference between a cow and a steer.
We do that, yes. Hassan Nasrallah, who's the head of Hezbollah, says he is planning to form his own anti-Western government in Lebanon. And they did this prior to the release of indictments by the Special Lebanon Tribunal, or Special Tribunal for Lebanon. STL is the abbreviation, the acronym they're using for it. But they are they essentially, by dissolving the government, have pushed the pro-Western Prime Minister of Lebanon, Saeed Hariri, the son, I believe, of the assassinated Prime Minister, out of power. And so Nasrallah is looking to form his own government. And President Assad of Syria, according to Debka File, is maneuvering behind the scenes to help Hezbollah in any way he can. So this is, again, an attempt to block any Western influence in Lebanon. Lebanon, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, was the reason they speak French there, and you know, many of them have French names, is because it was a very Western nation. You know, it was a real
There's a large
jewel.
Christian faction there.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
very
Catholic.
Much so.
It's a form of Catholicism.
Right, right, right. And I'm trying to think of the name of it, and I should know it because my former in-laws were.
Yeah, I think it's sort of Eastern Orthodox, but they're actually aligned with the
Church of
Rome.
Rome. Yeah. The bottom line, though, Lebanon was more Western, more economically developed, and of course now it essentially is the site of a proxy war between Iran and Syria on the one side, and Saudi Arabia and the U.S. on the other, and Israel on the other.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, the average people are the ones who are getting trampled through all of this. So Nasrallah trying to form his own government. Meanwhile, in Israel, Defense Minister Ehud Barak of the Labor Party has led a bloc of five of the 13-member parliamentary faction have basically walked out, and Barak has formed his own party now called the Independence Party. And the reason for doing that is because the Labor Party as a whole had threatened to withdraw from the coalition, the government coalition led by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Well, things are different in Israel than they are here. And apparently they're similar in Lebanon, in that a certain percentage of ministers decide that the government is no longer valid, they walk out, or they have a no-confidence vote in the current minister. And the prime minister is the head of the party that gets the most votes, if I understand it correctly.
Right.
The most members in parliament, in the Knesset.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
It's different here, of course. You vote a president in, and he or she stays in for 4 to 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times I wish it were a parliamentarian paradigm.
It would make things a lot more interesting, that's for sure.
It really would. Imagine if, you know, the House could decide, okay, half of us or two-thirds of us are going to walk out, and we're going to form a different party.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be chaos.
Yeah, it very well would be. But by the same token, we'd probably see a wider range of political viewpoints represented in the government instead of now, where you've got, on the one hand, a Republican Party that essentially ignores, or at least until the Tea Party rose up, ignores true conservatives, people who are socially, financially conservative, and ignores Christians because they know the Christians don't have anywhere else to vote. And on the left-hand side, you've got the Democratic Party, which pretty much ignores the progressives and takes them for granted. Because they're not going to they're not going to vote for, you know, the Greens or the Republicans. Basically, you've got, the people on the fringes, like us, who are not represented in government because the Republicans and the Democrats are both fighting over the independents in the middle. The people who are, well, frankly, too wishy-washy to actually declare a position or decide what they believe in. Now, maybe that's a little harsh.
That may be a little harsh, but I think sadly that's true with many people.
Because they're going to get the votes from the right and the left. The far right, far left are going to vote Republican and Democrat anyway. So all the battle is for the middle, And frankly, in bigger picture terms, and that's all for show because the guy's really pulling the strings. So the bankers who are
here's my question, and I know that we're going over. I think.
Yeah.
The prime minister position sort of revolves around. It changes. You know, there are like four guys that keep swapping the position around
Barack
over
Netanyahu.
In Israel.
Yeah.
But the presidency is always the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is Shimon Peres still president?
Well, no, I've got to look to see who is the president of Israel. Because
do they have a new president?
Well, the former president was the guy who was convicted of that sexual assault, wasn't he?
Was it the president or the PM?
I don't know.
Like I said, they change around so much.
President of Israel. See, we should know this. We should
know
this.
I know.
Yes, you're right. Shimon Peres is the president of the United States. The term length.
He's not president of the United States. He's
president of Israel. Sorry. He's the president and has been since 2007.
There are some who would claim he is.
Yes, they finally see the light. No, we're not going there. Okay.
We're not playing that game.
No, Peres is the president and he will be until 2014.
Well, and that's the thing. You were saying earlier that, was it in Lebanon? Do they have a presidency that is the same all the time, too?
I don't know.
Well, that's the trick. Take a look at the people who never change. That's the person with the deep roots in power.
Yep. Former president in Israel, I was correct. Moshe Katsav was just on December 30th convicted of two counts of rape. So he was the guy that Shimon Peres had replaced.
But Peres
or succeeded.
Was president before that. And he was PM way back, but he's been president in the past. Well, we'll look this up.
Yes.
And in the meantime, we'll figure out cows and steers.
And keep an eye on the sky tomorrow morning and see if the sun is over the right tree. Until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear.